Good morning. We're going through Luke, parts of Luke, as warnings for our joy, why the Lord would have us to know so that we can experience the fullness of the Lord as has been so marvelously displayed in the scripture. So we've been in Luke 11 and now going to Luke 12. But in Luke 11, I remind you that Jesus has talked about a house being swept out, cleansed, comes back with seven other demons more powerful than itself. And the situation there is that moral reform is not enough. We must be filled with the greatness and the power and the goodness of the Lord. And then he goes on and talks about the sign of Jonah as the only sign we will receive before his death and resurrection. He talks about being the light of the world, and he says, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. And then he goes right into a strong teaching against the false teaching of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And he says, be very, very careful. And then he launches into this issue about how to walk in the way of the Lord. And then we come to verse 12. And after all of these very difficult statements, it says that thousands of people were trampling upon themselves to hear and see the Lord. And in the midst of this mass movement, he gives a teaching on the fear of the Lord. He says five times in just a few verses regarding the fear of the Lord. So listen to Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and following. He says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, but after that have nothing more that they can do. But I warn you whom you should fear. Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. And that would be the Father. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, for you are of much more value than many sparrows. So, fear. People are trampling on themselves, trying to get close to Jesus, and he turns around and gives this very, very difficult teaching. And he says, don't fear man who can only kill the body, but fear the one who has the authority after you are dead to consign you to a place of eternity in judgment or in blessing. And so we step back and says, well, fear. But 1 John 4:18, a very well-known passage that speaks to the fear of the Lord, says this. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. There's no fear because Christ bore our sins on the cross. He bore the punishment that his people deserved. So perfect love casts out fear. And then again, it says, and there is a fear, though. Revelation 6, verse 16, the day of judgment. It says this, then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand it? So there is a fear that comes if you're outside of Christ. But the fear I'm going to talk about today is the fear of the Lord for believers. So we fear not rejection. We don't fear being cast out. That's the fear that's been dealt with on the cross. But here's the fear that should mark us. And I fear it's a missing note in the church. It is the fear that's an emotive trembling of joy and thanksgiving that's accompanied with responsibility. Trembling joy and thanksgiving that is accompanied with responsibility as a believer in Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul says, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that defiles the body and the spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of the Lord. And I want to suggest to you, that is the trembling, emotive, joyful thanksgiving for what the Lord has done for us, that's accompanied with a keen sense of calling and responsibility. We are to fear the Lord with trembling joy. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Peter says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So you honor everyone, love the brethren, fear God, honor the king. So the king and everybody's on the same level, but we are to reverentially, with joy and trembling, fear the Lord. That's accompanied with responsibility. In Jeremiah 31, Jeremiah writes about the new covenant blessing that will happen when Messiah comes. And Jesus says, this is the new covenant established by my blood in Luke 22. But listen to Jeremiah 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand and brought them out of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, the days of the Messiah, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. New covenant blessings. And this is maintained in part as we remember this. It says in Jeremiah 32 regarding the coming covenant. Verse 38. Listen, this is. I remember covering this at a men's retreat years ago. It just really motivated me. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for their own good and the good of their children after them. Verse 40, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts that they may not turn from me. I will rejoice in doing them good. This fear is for you and your children and your children's children. It is the trembling, joyful, thanksgiving that flows from us, accompanied with responsibility. People say, well, reverence. Reverence doesn't get it to me. Or awe. Awe's close. Or respect. That's part of it. I'm talking about the trembling joy that contemplates the greatness of the eternal, electing, merciful God of the triune Lord in your life. That is motivational, that is freeing, that is incredible. Early in the ministry of the Lord, in Luke chapter 5, he's with Peter. And this, I love this story. Peter and his men have been out fishing all night. They come back, nothing. These leather-faced, strong fishermen, nothing. Jesus gets in the boat, he teaches. And after he teaches, he looks at Peter and he says, Peter, go out, we're going to go fishing again. And Peter says, teacher, we've been fishing all night. There's no fish out there. And underneath his breath, he's saying, I'm a fisherman, you're a carpenter, give me a break. You know? But he says, Lord, because you asked me to do it, I will go out. So he goes out, they throw the nets out, and this is what happens. They went out, and they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled another boat to come over to help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." I'll read that. Peter got a glimpse. This is long before the Mount of Transfiguration, long before the Passion of the Cross, obviously. Just got a glimpse of the majesty and glory of the living God, and he fell on his face before Jesus among a bunch of fish. And so I say the fear of the Lord is the trembling, emotively trembling joy that seizes your heart that leads to a life of thanksgiving and accountability. There's a hymn, one of my favorite hymns, by a guy named Charles Wesley. And Wesley says, "Died he for me? To him to death pursued." And then Wesley says, "Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? Amazing love." See, to me, that's the trembling. It's not just respect. That's the trembling joy that comes in understanding. There's another more contemporary song. I was listening to it this week by a group called Casting Crowns. Listen. "Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? Who am I that the bright and morning star, Jesus, would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I did, but because of who you are." Who am I? I think anybody that is minimally sober-minded stops in this great country and says, "Why in the world have I been given the opportunity of living in a land of opportunity and freedom and liberty instead of living in some place where you have to hide in the cellar?" And then if you step back and you're a believer and you say, "Who am I that when I was dead in my sins, when I could have cared less, God worked in my heart and showed one who formerly had mocked who Jesus was in my life and showed him the brilliance of sins forgiven by the blood atonement of the eternal God on the cross." Whoa, amazing love. "How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me?" You see, that's the fear of the Lord, brothers and sisters, is not the fear of being, he's going to get me or he's going to cast me out. No. The fear of the Lord is the trembling, emotive joy and worship that comes in understanding the glory of the cross, and it's accompanied by responsibility. We glory in the cross. So the issue, what casts out the fear of rejection and awakens the emotive, trembling celebration, fearful love of the Lord is the glory of the cross. Now, Sarah and I just spent some time in a country in North Africa named Morocco. In the city, and I taught for a week, 16 people, three women, the rest are men. And in this country, this 99.9% Muslim, it's all about doing to earn. It's all about legalism. It's all about doing in order to be loved by Allah. There are five pillars of Islam. Most of you know them. One is that you pray several times a day towards Mecca to earn favor. You give some money to the poor to earn favor. You fast during the month of Ramadan to earn favor. You recite the basic creed that says this: there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, to earn favor. You take a holy trip to Mecca, the founding place of Islam, this year during the month of June, to earn favor. It's all about earning favor. So as I taught these people, I kept on talking about, we believe that we're saved by faith alone, through the work of Christ alone, taught by the scripture alone. It's to the glory of God alone. I kept on saying alone, alone. In fact, I use the word, I found one of my few Arabic words, fakatwa. Alone. Fakatwa. And those guys start laughing because my Arabic is horrible. But I'd be teaching, I'd say, fakatwa. Fakatwa. And they go, fakatwa. And the reason I do, it is, they live in a culture that says nothing about that. We do too. The average American says, well, maybe if my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, maybe, 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 maybe. Wrong. Fakatwa. Alone. See, it's the cross alone. Hinduism, Buddhism, same thing. Hinduism, work hard, come back in higher life form. You get what you deserve. Buddhism, same kind of thing. If you're ever playing golf with somebody and they're approaching the green, they hit it in the water, look at them and says, karma is tough, isn't it? Because you get what you deserve. Sometimes I see some of our young women dating some of these young men, and I say, man, karma is beating you up right now. It's not karma, it's grace. It is grace. See, it's 'cause the old hymn, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. See? It is the trembling joy. Respect doesn't get it. Reverence doesn't get it. It's the trembling joy that comes as we contemplate the greatness of the gospel of Christ. It is the fear, brothers and sisters, that cast out other fears. I'm just going to mention four or five. The fear of the Lord that conquers other fears. The first is the fear of missing out. It's a very popular phrase, the fear of missing out. I have for years dreamed of going on a 18 to 21 day hike in the mountains of Nepal, the Himalayas, something called the Annapurna Circuit. You go from village to village and you just hike. It's just beautiful, difficult. I don't think I'm going to make it. I think I'm getting too old. It's not going to happen. But you know what? That's okay. Because the Bible says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for his people. Can you imagine the glory of heaven? Can you imagine the hikes we're going to have in heaven? Can you imagine the absolute laughter of heaven? Can you imagine the feasting in heaven? Can you imagine the embrace of brothers and sisters in the Lord in heaven? Can you imagine being done with sin in heaven? Can you imagine seeing with clear vision in heaven? Can you imagine seeing the glory of Jesus in heaven? I don't fear missing out. The second fear that the fear of the Lord conquers is the fear of being cast out. Based on the authority of the Word of God and the very words of our Lord, I do not fear being cast out, rejected. I don't. God disciplines his people. I'll preach on that in a couple of weeks. God disciplines. Never cast out. Never. 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 I don't fear it. Tell me about two of my heroes. One guy's named Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, premier theologian in America, maybe one of the greatest minds in Western civilization, died in 1758 after becoming the president of Princeton College for about 2 weeks. Jonathan Edwards was born in 1703. When he was 25, he went into a parish ministry with his granddaddy. He was there for a few days. His granddaddy died. Jonathan Edwards was there, and he was part of a movement called the First Great Awakening, when the Holy Spirit came down and thousands and thousands and thousands of people came to faith in Jesus. Jonathan Edwards' church flourished. He wrote incredible books. And then there was a little controversy about the Lord's Supper. Jonathan Edwards became a Baptist in the area of the Lord's Supper. He said the Lord's Supper is for believers. And part of his congregational heritage said, no, this is part of the familial heritage. And he says, no, the Bible says the Lord's Supper, rightly, is for believers. And they had this discussion. I go, what? They voted him out of the church after 25 years. It's amazing. And the vote was 200-23. And only men could vote. So the women got off on that one. I thought, Jonathan Edwards married to a godly woman, had a wonderful marriage, had 11 kids. All 11 kids believed. There was nothing about Jonathan Edwards that was not observably excellent, and they voted him out. That blows my mind. People reject you. It's going to happen. But the Father never does. You're covered with the blood of Christ. Another one of my heroes, a guy named Winston Churchill. Became Prime Minister of England in 1940. World War II had just started. 2 weeks after he became Prime Minister, France fell. It was England against the Nazis. Island nation against the blitzkrieg of the Nazi movement. A few days later, they had to rescue, a miraculous rescue from a place called Dunkirk. His courage, his tenacity, his unwillingness to bend to Hitler's demands held the nation strong, held it together. And so in May of 1945, the Nazis surrendered. Universal praise. 2 months later, the British citizens voted Churchill out. I can't believe that. You got to be kidding me. Here's a guy that held your nation together, that was the epitome of courage and tenacity and humor. And you voted him out. Now, I'd step back and say, sometimes people will reject you. But listen, the triune God in his tender mercies, his eternal covenant love will never, ever reject you. There's a hymn that says, friends may fail me, foes assail me, but my Savior makes me whole. I don't fear. The fear of the Lord is something I struggle with. The fear of the Lord takes away the fear of man. All too often, I am silent when I should speak. And all too often, I speak when I should be silent. So I just went to Morocco, I mentioned, I came back. I always come back deeply encouraged and also ashamed. We met at a house of a man who's in dementia. He was a godly man who years ago, because of his faith, went to prison for several years, put him in prison. And his wife had 4 children. He raised them all on the Lord. One is not there now, but grandchildren in the Lord. I'm sitting there teaching. There's a man sitting across from me. He's got 3 children. And I heard later that a few years ago, he was in prison for several months and was released because of his faith. Young man sitting to my right, good-looking guy, good-looking young 20-year-old, has been kicked out of his home. His parents want nothing to do with him. They've disowned him. because of his faith. Of the 13 men that were there, two were married. The rest want to be married, but they can't get married, and they're in their 35s and 40s because they can't get jobs, because they can't get jobs. They don't have a dowry because they can't get jobs, because they're believers in Jesus. And I come away from that saying, God, forgive me for being milquetoast. These people are paying the price. These people are laying it on the line. It's very humbling. It's very humbling. Fourth is the fear of God. The fear of God deals with the fear of the future. The fear of God deals with the fear of the future. See, it's interesting. I think we love to be awestruck. Let me tell you why. Did you know that this year Yosemite Park is going to have 4 million visitors? It's a beautiful park. It's just driving to there. There's just these huge walls of stone that you just can't describe, and you look down into a deep valley and you go in the park and there are all these incredible 4 million people. This year, 4.7 million will go to the Grand Canyon. I've never been there. But it's massively beautiful. I know that. I've never been to Niagara Falls. This year, 22.5 million people will visit Niagara Falls. Half of them on their honeymoon, probably, anyway. But I think we go to these places to go, wow. But here's what breaks my heart. If you don't know there's an eternal God who made the heavens and the earth and who spoke everything, spoke it into existence, then the wow only gets you so far. Only so far. Here's a guy named William Blake who wrote a poem, some of you memorized it in high school, entitled Tiger, Tiger. Tiger, tiger, burning bright, in the forest of the night, what immortal hand or eye could frame thy dreadful symmetry? William Blake says, you know, the tiger, the man-eating tiger, has dreadful symmetry. It's dreadful. Or think about another statement. Tennyson said, nature, red in tooth and claw. Red in tooth and claw. Nature. It's amazing. Don't understand who made it. Where's it going? It's amazing. Tiger, tiger, burning bright. Conversely, this is kind of a nerd moment. This is an old hymn written in 1712. Listen, as compared to tiger, tiger, burning bright, red in tooth and claw. Listen, the spacious firmament on high, with all the blue ethereal sky, the spangled heavens a shining frame, the great original proclaim. The unwearied sun from day to day does his creator's power display and publishes to every land the work of an almighty hand. So about the beauty of nature. So instead of tiger, tiger, burning bright, it says the unwearied sun from day to day does his creator's power display. And it publishes to every land the work of an almighty hand. It's just not a beautiful, beautiful creation. It publishes the greatness and the glory of God. The last fear I'll mention that is conquered by the fear of God is the fear of death. Death is hard. I've seen many people die. Getting old is hard. But the truth is, death is not the final word. We stand at the grave and we say with the Apostle Paul, grave, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The fear of God, the joyful, trembling, thankful worship that leads to responsibility. This type of trembling worship takes care of other fears. This past week was the death anniversary of Martin Luther. Martin Luther died on February the 18th, 1546. Luther, you know the story. Luther was a very bright law student, got caught in a thunderstorm. And he cried out, "Saint Anne, save me, and I'll become a monk." And much to his father's and mother's deep chagrin, he fulfilled that vow, became a monk, started studying the Bible, and tried to work his way to God by doing, 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 confessing, confessing, confessing. And he said, before he saw grace through the cross, this statement, I love this statement. He said, "If I could believe God was not angry with me, I would stand on my head for joy." Well, Luther saw the glory of the cross. And for the last 40 years of his life, he stood on his head for joy. The glorious, trembling worship of God. It's not just reverence. Reverence is part of it. It's just not respect. It's part of it. I'm talking about the emotive, trembling joy of knowing your sins are forgiven and that there is a glorious triune God that watches over you, which leads to a sense of responsibility and calling. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the fear I think the Bible calls us to. Let's pray. Lord, we are your people and the sheep of your pasture if we name the name of Jesus. And I would confess that so often it's easy for the glory of the cross to become just part of the landscape. Holy Spirit, make the glory of the cross the central driving motive in our lives, not just part of the landscape, the motive. I pray there would be a Holy Spirit emotive, joy-laden glory in the cross and the glory of Jesus that compels us to serve and love and care for others. I pray that would be the fear of the Lord. I pray that we would walk in holiness out of the fear of the Lord. I pray that we would honor everyone. I pray we would honor the King. I pray we would love the brethren. I pray that we would do that out of the fear of the Lord. I pray you'd forgive us for being so casual. Oh, move us by the Holy Spirit. Emotively move us, I pray, to reverence and worship and joy in you and be glad in you. May we be men and women who walk in the fear of the Lord, the joyful trembling that leads to responsibility. And may we say with Wesley of old, "Died he for me? For me?" Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? I pray for those who may be hearing this today who have never walked in the way of the cross. I pray they would see that they are in desperate need of a Savior, that our works are, there's no such thing as karma. There's no such thing as the reincarnation, the transmigration of soul. There's one life, and after that comes judgment. I pray you would open their hearts to receive the good news that there's an eternal God who died on the cross for their sins and rose victorious over death. And to die in the Lord is to be with him forever. To die outside of that is to face a place of judgment. So, God, give us a sobriety that's filled with laughter and joy. In Jesus' name, amen.